Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity. You got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to bring out some scriptures here in just a little bit, but the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's a person of the Trinity. And he's the one that demonstrates the power of God in this earth. You know, he's the one that brings revelation when you're reading the Word of God or hearing preaching. He's the one that reveals things. He's the one that, I mean, just like, you know, I make an example. This is the way I think because of what the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So I try to think of myself in light, in line with the Word of God. The Bible says I'm more than a conqueror, so I'll never think defeat. Come on, somebody. And the Holy Spirit's going to come in there and he's going to help you be what God already said. The Bible says that we're kings and priests unto God. Me and Travis was on a job Friday and walked in the building and there was this guy in there. And that other guy told him to take out the trash or something that was working there. I guess he was one of the leaders or whatever. And I thought the guy told him he looked like a transmission, you know. So I walked up to the dude and I said, "You don't much look like a transmission to me." Like that. And then I caught the conversation. He's a trash man, not a transmission, you know. And so that guy, he looks at me and I just walked casually in there. And he said, "You just come up here walking like you own the place." Like that, you know. And I started to tell him, "I do. This is a big factory up in Holly Pond." I started to tell him I do some of that stuff funny, you know, out there, but I'm really serious. And I turned around and I told Travis, I should have went on and told him that my God owns the earth and everything in it belongs to him. And I'm a joint heir, so this whole thing belongs to me somewhat. Now, I'm not going to go up there and try to take that building and all that stuff, but the Bible does say that we're heirs and joint heirs, right? And I was thinking about, I mean, I've been, you know, really thinking about being led by the Holy Spirit. How many knows that it is vital to our lives to learn to be led by the Holy Spirit? Vital to our lives, you know. I mean, we need to be led. We need to practice hearing the Holy Spirit, the promptings of the Holy Spirit, you know. And, I mean, you know, there's different things. I was telling Teresa, every time I got a bulldozer, and if you don't keep the track tied, it runs off. And that's aggravating when it runs off. I mean, it's a big 35,000-pound machine, you know. And so every time I run it off, I go home and I say, "I knew it was going to run off." And she says, "Why do you not listen to the Holy Spirit?" I said, "Well, you know, I figure when I think that, I'll just take it easy. Then I get busy and I don't take it easy. You know, and the track runs off." And so every time I hear the Lord tell me that knowing, I don't never hear a voice. I've never heard an outward voice. But the Holy Spirit quickens us just like you'll know. You'll just know that track show up a ball. You know, I'm making an example. And so every time I listen to that, I jump off, tighten it up right quick, get back on, and I have a good old time. Every time I have that thought, I tested. I thought, "Nah, I'm not going to run it off. I mean, this time, I'm going to see if this is Lord." And you know what? As easy as I could take it, the tracks off of it. I got off of it, and I said, I knew it. How many knows that might seem like nothing? But if we can learn to hear him in the unimportant things, the little things, listening to him, learning to hear his voice, when we get into some major issues and we need to answer, we'll hear him. We'll done be drove out all that fear and all of that stuff. And how many knows that's why the enemy really don't like for us to get to study the Word of God. He knows that the Word of God plays a major part in our being able to pick up on the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads us in line with the Word of God, you know, in most issues. Just like, for an example, the other day, and I was wanting some chicken manure to go on my pasture up there. And so I run across this dude, and he said, "Oh, yeah." He said, He said, we need to go partners. That's what we need to do. Well, now he's lost, I think. I don't believe he follows the Lord. And instantly, the word of God came to me. Anybody know what it says? Don't be unequally yoked together with non-believers. That instantly come to me. How many knows that was the Holy Spirit? I'm going to show you in John chapter 15 over there where he will bring things to our remembrance, the Holy Spirit. Well, if I didn't know that word, how could he bring it to me? If I wasn't a student of the Bible, he couldn't bring that word to me. It would be harder for the Holy Spirit to lead me. And how many knows he leads us sometimes, and we don't even realize he's leading us. And I thank God for that. He quickens us to things, praise God. Give me that scripture, Beth, in Romans 8. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, talk about the Holy Spirit, they are the sons of God. He says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. It says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with what? Our spirit. See, the Holy Spirit will bear witness on the inside of us of the will of God, whatever it is. What if it's a house you're looking for? He'll bear witness. You'll have that inward witness. That's the bearing witness of the Holy Spirit. But he says, those that are led by the Spirit of God are willing to yield to the Holy Spirit. These are the sons of God, you know. And so I went on and told that dude, I ain't going to be partners with nobody. Why? I need the chicken manure. Sounds like a good deal to me. He's got the chicken manure. If I don't partner with him, I don't get the chicken manure. You know what I didn't get? Chicken manure. I don't care. See, the outward things are not leadings. Outward pressure, outward needs are not leadings of the Holy Spirit. You know? And so I thought, well, bless God, I'll just believe God for the money to buy a hopper of fertilizer then. That way, I mean, if God's going to take care of my pastor, he says he will, right? Well, he can bring money in, don't you think? Especially when I don't yield contrary to what the Holy Spirit says. Now, I could have went and got in trouble doing that. I don't know what could have happened. Went in there, we agreed to do it, and everything in the country broke down, and I don't know. You know, if you make a commitment, you need to stick to it, even if it costs you. So, if we listen to the Holy Spirit, he will spare us. But the Word of God plays a very huge part of being able to learn to be led. I'm still learning. I'm learning to be led. I've been in it a few years, been in the ministry a long time, but I can go deeper. I can hear more. I can be quickened to things, praise God. But he says the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Kind of like with Travis. Now, if you've been here very long at all, I mean, if you've been divorced 1,800 times, I don't talk down on people who've been divorced, but I've had people to get upset with me. Well, you knew I was divorced. Why, you preached on that? No, I preached that because the Bible says it. Because you ain't the only one on this planet. You ain't the only one going to be married. You ain't the only one coming up going to get married. You done been there, done that. There's a generation that needs to hear that God hates divorce. And there should be no room for divorce in a born-again believer's life. They should fight the good fight of faith and I mean, lay hold and stay in there and fight. And when Travis was going to get married, I told him to Beth, I told him, I said, this is not a tried out thing. I said, you need to make sure that it's the Lord. And we was already believing God that God would send the right one into Travis's life as parents. That she would already be godly. She would already be in love with God, going to church, plugged in somewhere, and she was. So, but I sat Travis down and I told Travis, this is not get married and then if things ain't, that gets rough, you just get a divorce. This is a lifelong commitment you are making with this girl, you know. You're taking her life on lifelong. It's not a thought. And I put it in him, God hates divorce and you should hate divorce. Now he had to have a little help. He thought Beth was all the trouble. He gonna divorce her and all that, you know, and get rid of her. And he ain't getting his way, whatever the case was, you know. And he come out there and he's gonna kick her out, you know. And we told him, you're gonna leave. She gets the trailer. The trailer's in my name. You can get your truck and go, and she's gonna get the trailer. Why? Because he was doing wrong. And a lot of that was fixing to cause a divorce that didn't have to happen. He was led by the flesh. But we helped him out. Now they've successful. They're 10, 11 years now, 12, I guess. Praise God. They're still working on things, I'm sure, you know, and the grandkids and all that. But see, had I could have said, well, son, you know, I mean, it just don't work out for some. And go ahead and counsel him that way. Go ahead and counsel him where he's set up for failure, set up to not make it in the marriage. But you know what? He's set up now to fight. Well, you know, the Holy Spirit will take the Word of God, you know, and he will convince you. Convince me. And I'm not just talking about marriage. I wouldn't get a divorce. She ain't got enough money to get a divorce from me. She ain't got enough money. I'll make sure of that. You want a divorce? You're broke now. You was rich. Now you're broke. You're going to have to get a job. Go borrow it like I did. I borrowed the money and paid for a divorce, and we never did get one. I made payments on a divorce we never got. I wished I'd have been born again. I'd have saved that $2,500. But you take it, the Word of God. I mean, you get the Word of God on finances. But more than that, get the Word of God on faithfulness. Being faithful to the Lord. Faithful to His Word. Faithful to fight. It's not easy sometimes. That's why everybody don't do it. Coming to church is a challenge. That's why all the churches are not full. Every church in every place ought to be full of God's people that are hungry for God. Every church needs to be full today. Around everywhere. But you know what? The ones that are engaging, the ones that are yielding to the Spirit of God, you know, they're the ones that are going to get the benefits of God. They're the ones that's going to have the power of God. They're the ones that's going to abide in the anointing, that yoke-breaking anointing. They're the ones that is going to prosper. They're going to prosper in their marriage, prosper in their relationships, prosper in their family. Like little Aubrey, I did that on purpose, praying for Gigi. I did. I have stuck it out with her for 7 years, trying to get her to acknowledge Jesus, to acknowledge the things of God. And I mean, I've been relentless. I won't back down. And you know what? She wouldn't have nothing to do with the name of Jesus or anything. I kind of got concerned. And now, because of my life and Travis's life and all of y'all, you know, we pray in here. We believe in a God that answers prayers. We believe in a God that can move mountains. And we have that authority that Monty was talking about. Whatever we bind on earth. We have the power to bind and loose. I bound poverty in my life. I bound fear. I bound jealous of my wife. Don't ever be jealous. Y'all don't never let that get in. That ain't nothing but fear. That's all it is. Don't ever let it in. They're fixing to start a wonderful life together, get married, and glad y'all are. I mean, I don't discourage that at all, praise God. I actually like to see two people get together by the Lord, stick in there and go with the Lord and see what God has for them. But I bound that fear in my own life. But you know what I did it with? The Word of God and the Holy Spirit. I'm at the Coleman County Jail, and this gets all clawed up. And I know I done been there. I don't know. I know if a guy he's got certain marks on his face from fingernails. I know. I got experience. But I'm up there, and I'm a Christian, and I'm still jealous. I'm still fearful. I don't call it jealous anymore. It's fear. you know. I'm standing there, and I'm letting my partner minister. I thought, well, I'm going to let him minister today. And I'm sitting there, and I just lean back against the block wall, and I'm letting him minister. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, the one I've been talking about, he spoke to me. He said, go tell him I'll set him free. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I can't. I said, I'm bound myself. Lord, I'm still jealous. Lord, I didn't know it was fear then. I said, I'm still jealous, Lord. I don't want to be, but I can't tell him that, Lord. And three times the Lord told me. Third time he said, go tell him. He said, I'm going to set you free from it. Well, see, he needed, when God gave me that word, it gave me faith. And then once that faith rose up, I thought, glory to God. I've been trying not to be jealous. I've been trying, you know. I got up, went over there, and I told that dude, I said, hey, man, can I tell him something? Sure. I said, the Spirit of God just spoke to me, and he said that he'll set you free from that jealousy. If you'll surrender to him, he'll set you free from it. I said, whatever you're in here for, domestic, whatever it is, I said, I can see it on your face. I don't even have to ask. I said, you're not in here because you're not in trouble. I said, your life is in trouble. I said, and God said he'd set you free. Well, ever since I did that, I mean, it wasn't too long after that, praise God, I would have an opportunity to get upset. I messed with Patricia yesterday. She was mowing the yard out there with the glasses on. And I went by and I pulled up and my bird. I said, that dude nearly hit that tree looking at you. She said, whatever. Hallelujah. But you know what? Used to, if somebody looked at her, I mean, it would just like drive me crazy, you know. But anyways, I'm totally free today. But you know what? I chose to yield to the Holy Spirit. He said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Well, I took that and renewed my mind to it. God ain't give me that jealousy. God ain't give me that fear. He ain't give me that. The Spirit of God has made me free. The Bible says the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free, made you free. The Word of God plays a very huge role in being led by the Holy Spirit. The Lord will lead you. I mean, just like things in my business, I've been in business since 1994. And really, if I had my choice, I'd quit it. I'd go get me a job and clock in. I could make, I mean, I'm a professional at about everything. I mean, I could get a job making 25, 30, 40, 50 bucks an hour, you know. I believe it. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I do. Bible says, greater is he that's in me. If God be for me, who can be against me? But you know what? I would be out of the will of God. Why? Because God's not told me to switch jobs. See, things, trouble is not a leading. Financial slackness in my job is not a leading. Good, big opportunities are not leadings. Those that are led by the Holy Spirit, not led by money, not led by the way things look, not led by other folks, what they think. See, we're to inquire of the Lord and individually learn how to hear from the Holy Spirit. Did you know, I mean, one time I remember this morning, the Lord spoke to me and told me to buy a horse. I'm like, I don't need that horse. Got 4 or 5 horses. I bought that horse, a big old Appaloosa horse. And it wasn't too long after that, my business went through a little bit of, you know, slack time and everything, and I needed some money. And in the middle of it, the horse market fell out. Swap shop was full of them, come get them. You know, a local swap shop here. You couldn't give horses away. And the Spirit of God spoke to me. He said, sell that horse. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, have you noticed what horses are bringing right now? He didn't say nothing about that. He just said, that horse. Well, I went over to Doris's house. That's my mother-in-law. I don't know, a couple of days after that, and me and her boyfriend was over there, and me and him were just talking, And he said, "How's that Appaloosa horse you bought?" And I said, "Well, that's good." I said, "I think I'm fixing to sell it." He said, "What you want for it?" I said, $800. He said, "I'll take it." I said, "Okay." Well, he paid me for the horse. See, the Lord led me, and that money was right on time. I mean, it was right on time. It took care of things, and then things straightened out. I mean, it's important to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. You know, I mean, people all the time, they're like, "Well, you know, it don't really matter where you work." Yes, it does. Find out. If you're a Christian, find out. Fast. Go fast and pray and seek the Lord and trust Him. Trust that He will lead you where you need to be. I still do it in my business. "Which way do I go today, Lord?" If I'm selling, I'll say, "Which way do I go, Lord?" And then one time I was out going to go sell because we were slack, and I got out to my truck, and the Lord said, "Where are you going?" He knew where I was going. I said, "Lord, I'm going to sell." "Why?" "I didn't tell you to sell." "Well, the finances was telling me to sell." Come on, somebody. I'm getting desperate here. And I thought, "Nah, surely this ain't God speaking to me." I went and sold, and I didn't get one job off of not one thing that I did. And so I told Teresa, I said, "Nothing panned out." I said, "I can tell you right now, I said, I ain't no never sell again unless I hear the Holy Spirit tell me." Those that are led by the Holy Spirit, right? And the Bible says the Spirit will bear witness with my spirit. Well, I didn't sell no more. I thought, "But God," and you know what? More came in by me not selling than it did me selling. He supernaturally did it, supernaturally moved. Give me that John 14, Beth, please. And so the next time, though, I told the Lord, I went to the Lord, and I said, "Lord, I'm sorry. I was doing that on my own, Lord. I was trying to, you know, if man don't work, he don't eat." I said, "But those scriptures was in my head, Lord. You know, don't be weary in well-doing." I can come up with all kinds of scriptures to justify what I'm doing. But the word that the Holy Spirit is speaking is the one that's important, because now the anointing is on it. It says, "He that hath my commandments and keep them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him." Did you hear what he said? He said, if we take this word and we keep it, put it in our heart, let it get in our heart. Meditating on the word and quoting scriptures is not spiritual. Devil does it. Lost people can quote the word to you, but they have no light. They have no light. They have no revelation. There's Christians that all over the planet, you'll hear them quote scriptures and they don't even follow the Lord. But I see powerlessness in their life. I see them all time in turmoil, all time messed up, all time fussing and fighting, all the time trial. They're just tearing trial. I mean, it's trial after trial. "God, when am I going to get out of this trial?" They're waiting on the next one because it's just trial. But then you got those that are, you know, they don't, not just word quoters, they're word embracers. Now, them right there, you'll see them get in the trial, and just like Teresa done, she done whipped that thing. I mean, went to the brain specialist, done scans on her brain. People done, "Well, I don't think she'll never get no better. What do you think?" I don't think. I know she will. There's a difference in looking at the natural and saying, "Well, it ain't going to never change. This is bad. This is in your..." They told me one time, they said, "You know, it's in your lineage." I said, "No." I told that doctor, I said, "No, sir, I got a new lineage. I got new blood. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus." I said, "My father is supernatural." They try to sell me insurance. You know, I tell them I got the best insurance on the planet. They say, "What company is it?" I say, "Heaven. I'm insured by heaven." Well, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24, "By Jesus stripes ye were healed." See, when we're full of the word and we're not doing it out of religious, we're doing it because we love Jesus. We have a relationship with him. We talk with him. We want his will done in our life. I was telling Teresa last night, I said, "You know what?" I said, this guy, this happened here at this church, we was working, getting this building ready. but this guy was here working, my brother was here, and he wanted a chair my brother had. I'd give him or something, I don't know. And so he told him, he said, well, you know, man, brother, he said, the Bible says, he says, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, press down. He used the scripture, got the chair from my brother. My brother, out of just compassion, gave him the chair. The chair laid right out here and rotted. Now, do you think that was the Lord? But he told me, I was led by the Spirit. I said, why did you let the chair rot then? Got him a little upset there. But if the Lord told you to get the chair, evidently, to quote that scripture, it was by the flesh. It was a flesh desire wanting what his brother had. After getting what his brother had, he didn't even never use it. That was ungodly to me. That was a sure. And what I'm saying, why I'm saying that, you know, just because he quoted the scripture don't mean he was godly in it. So, you know, it says, he that has my word and keeps them. Well, you know, the Bible says, love our enemies. Right? Now, see, this what I'm talking about here, we can't separate our lives and be led by the Holy Spirit, separate from that union with the Lord. Because once we're walking with God, then he's going to reveal himself, manifest himself. He's going to manifest. And he told Judas, look here, he said, Judas said to him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself to us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come to him and make our abode. He'll come and dwell in us, dwell with them. See, Jesus hadn't ascended yet, so they're trying to understand, how is this going to happen? How are you going to speak to us and the world don't hear it? He can speak to me and you won't hear it. I can be sitting right in the middle of a bunch of sinners and God speak to me and they can't hear it. They just can't hear it. Just like that guy, you walk in here like you just own the place, you know, or just whatever. And I heard that scripture come to me. It come to me. I started just telling him. He didn't hear it. Travis, did you hear it? He didn't hear it either. I heard it. That's what he's talking about. He said, I'll make our abode with you. Go ahead, Beth. He said, he that loves me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken to you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. See how important now the Holy Spirit is telling him, he's telling them the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to come, and he's going to remind you, love your enemy. He's going to remind you, I hate divorce. He's going to remind you, doing to others as you would have them doing to you. He's going to remind you not to manipulate nobody to get what you want. He's going to remind you. He's the one leading. He's going to teach. He's going to lead. He's going to minister to. He's going to convict. I'm over there busy yesterday. The Lord spoke to me. I'm over there cutting me some tuba sixes, you know. I'm going to finish my barn. I'm going to build my cabin this year, you know. Cottage, cabin, whatever it is. I'm having to believe God. You know, I'm believing God to help me. Well, I'm over there. The Lord spoke to me. He said, I want you to go and fix this for somebody. And I'm like, man, I'm trying to cut some tuba sixes here. I've been hindered all day. And all of a sudden, you know, I stopped. Shut it down. I just shut everything down. And I said, yes, sir, Lord, whatever you say, sir. Whatever. That's a leading. The Lord spoke to me. And, you know, when the Lord leads, sometimes when the Lord leads you, it won't be convenient to you. It'll cause you to have to put off what you're doing. But you know what? There's going to be great benefits in you obeying the Holy Spirit. Somebody told me one time, well, I mean, I can help my kids and my you know, but I mean, I don't believe the Lord want me to do for people like I do for my family. I said, what scripture, where'd you get that? I said, most time the Lord leads me not to help my family. I said, most time the Lord leads me to help somebody that stranger to me. You know, I don't know what they're going to do with the money. I don't know nothing about them. I don't really know, you know. And so I said, you know, that's a leading of your emotions. When you can only, when you can justify, just go. I said, but you know what? I said, there's a good Samaritan in there, in the Bible. Wasn't kin to him. That took him on and took him to the hospital and said, I'll pay it when I come back. Take care of him. The Christians walked right by and left him. Them Christian folk, they was led, but they didn't yield. No, it's going to cost me. No, I'm in a hurry. I was thinking about it this morning, you know, when they started making excuses, and one of the excuses they couldn't go to the supper was they married a woman, got a wife, got some land, got some things going on. Hallelujah. You know, when I was thinking about, and I'm telling you this stuff to help you. You know, I come to church for about 2 or 3 weeks, or no, longer than that, I don't know how long, and I was broke. Travis was at home, and my business, that was 2000, when the economy failed, 2007 and 8, and everything that I'd trusted in failed me. Money failed me, the banks failed me, the mortgage place failed me, everybody failed me, everything failed me, money failed me. And I'm telling the Lord, I said, Lord, I could tell them at church and they would take an offering up, and I drove my truck on empty for weeks to this church. Not even the money to put no gas in there, none. None coming in. And then, and the Lord, I told the Lord that, and he said, don't tell them nothing. The Holy Spirit said, don't tell them. And I'm here, and I'm like, well, man, you know, Judas stole 30 pieces of silver. He could have repented. I'll steal it and repent. I'll take some money out of the offering. Muzzle not the ox that treads. I know the scriptures. And then, but you know, and then I thought, that's stealing. See, there's the Holy Spirit. There he is when he shows up. And you go to say something out of your mouth that you're going to tell somebody so they'll help you, the Holy Spirit will stop you. And he'll say, if you do that, God can't help you. But if you let me do it, I'll show up and show you a genuine bona fide miracle. And then the next time you get in bad shape or you get in need, you won't lean on people anymore. You'll lean on me. Well, I come on and preach this Bible. I preach this Bible just like I had plenty of money. I preach this Bible like I wasn't broke. I put my emotions aside and all that because the Lord told me don't tell nobody. Now that tells me God knows how to do it. Well, you know what? A little bit of time went on, and bam, 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 I've done some repenting, some changing. How many know sometimes things can be going on in your life hard because of you, because of me? I did some repenting, got in agreement with the Lord, and then boom, one job, I made $8,000 in 2 days. I didn't need y'all anymore. Bless God, I stood up, prayed God, brought my $800 in tithes. Somebody say $800. It's a lot of money. But who gave it to me? The Lord Jesus did. So I brought my $800 and slapped it right in that offering like I always did. And I thought, oh, I better save that because the hard days are coming. Then I said, shut up, devil. The hard day's not going to be my fault if it comes. And you know what? I've never been in lack, not one time since. That was the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would say, don't. How many knows the Bible says, cursed is the man that trusteth in man, but blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. You see, the Holy Spirit was, what he was doing there, he was telling me, now he didn't tell me that, but what he was saying, you got to keep trusting the Lord. You got to lean on the Lord. But you know, I wanted out of that hardship, but today I praise God for that trial. I promise you, I honestly praise God, that trial hit my house. That trial set me free. The very thing it was trying to destroy set me free. I was set free from fear of God not showing up and taking care of me. And now I was 3 months behind. Y'all know the story. I was 3 months behind on everything. I owed on everything. The bank was gonna come get all of my trucks. I wouldn't even have had a truck. They put me in quick foreclosure with my house. In the last conversation I had after I'd repented, got out of unbelief, and got over in faith, the last one I told that guy, I said, you go tell your people that you're working for that this bank will never get my house. And I hung up on him. Well, you know what? They didn't. My house, I owe just a little bit on my house, you know. Did I believe God for? I can pay it off right now, just choosing not to. I'm in control. Feels good to be in control. I'll pay it off. Now, if the Lord speaks to me, I'm going over there, pay it off. Go over there, pay it off. But what I'm saying now, see, people get upset when I tell these stories. Oh, Scotty brags on his money. Well, you ain't the one down there went through that. You ain't the one didn't have nothing. You ain't the one that had a broke marriage and trusted God and he brought me out. You ain't the one that give 30, 40, 50 vehicles away. You ain't the one that's give a house away led by the Holy Spirit and land. You ain't the one give boats and sea-doos. And you ain't the one that has sold your money when you wanted to keep it. So go ahead and argue with God. I'm blessed and you don't like it. Well, you got the same Jesus, but you're going to have the same Holy Spirit that leads you to sacrifice. He's going to lead you to love your enemies. He's going to lead you to give and it shall be given. He's going to lead you to stop using witchcraft to get what you want and depend on God. He's going to cause you to stop not working. The Bible says, Teresa told me yesterday, it's Saturday, I was supposed to be off. I said, 6 days shall a man work. I told her that. She's out there mowing the yard like, Saturday. I'm supposed to not do nothing on Saturday. So I looked at her and pulled a Bible verse out on her. I said, 6 days shall a man work. We rest on Sunday, tomorrow. I have to minister tomorrow. Well, her off day's Monday. Now she's wanting two of them. Now I was messing with her, you know, but hey, Bible says it. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you know what? She told me something. I don't know. I told her what I was going to do and going to finish up and blah, blah, blah. She said, good Lord, you're making me tired just telling me all this you're fixing to go do. You know? And I told her, I turned around and I said, I thank God that he calls me not to be lazy anymore. I thank God that I can outwork you. My wife ain't going to outwork me. Well, I'd have to have both legs cut off and prosthetics won't work. Hallelujah. See, the Holy Spirit will make a warrior out of you that the Bible says you already are. If you comply with him, if you yield him, I've seen Monty, I don't know, he's grew in the last, I don't know, spiritually growing. I can see him continually spiritually growing. But I can tell you one thing, he's getting more in the Word or something. There's something happening. You don't stay the same and regress and go back getting in the Word, listening to preaching, keeping your mind stayed on the Lord instead of all them hot women, man. You grieve the Holy Spirit. See, there's a spirit of lust that gets on men and women. Spirit of lust. It's a spirit behind it that'll make you, I mean, you know, I've seen that spirit on somebody, and I mean, they'll take anybody. I mean, they can be ugly, bad. And I mean, they don't care. It's just that spirit it's driving them, men and women. Women after women, men after men. You can see that perverted spirit. I mean, in people, child pornography on your phone, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. Ain't nobody here. I'm not talking to y'all here. Surely to God. If you are, you better repent and get done with that junk. And quit letting that spirit rule you because it's going to lead you to defeat. It's going to leave you in the end, deplete. It's going. The Bible said, Bradley used to preach it like this. He said, because judgment is not carried out swiftly, men's hearts are bent on doing evil. Because they don't see the results of bad choices right now, they're bent on keeping on doing them. And he said, I'm sitting there, you know, and I thought, man, I was one of them. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, he said, you know, if you're going down the road, he said, and it says detour, bridge out. He said, don't keep going. He said, you can say, by faith, that bridge ain't out. He said, go around that barrier. It ain't out. It ain't nothing going to happen. I got Jesus. I'm in faith. He said, another sign before you get there, bridge out. He said, keep faith in it. Just keep faith in it. He said, go, and you run off in the river. Lord, why didn't you protect me? I told you to stop. I told you to quit doing it. I told you to quit manipulating people to get what you want. I told you to stop doing that. I told you. I mean, I won't even on Facebook Marketplace, if they's a half-naked woman, I'm telling you, I'd turn my eyes and scroll, and I tell him every time, I say, he's not going to pull that on me, sir. You've taught me better, and you gave me restraint, Lord. My eyes are not going to look on something that I know I'm not supposed to be looking at. And I don't need Teresa in the bathroom or in the kitchen. I don't need her. I lay my phone around. I don't shut it off like I used to when she comes in. I told her, get my phone there, baby, anytime you want it, sweetheart. You take my phone. You can use my phone. Can your wife or your husband use your phone without you going, if he can't, you need to do some repenting. This is the Holy Spirit through me today telling you that you need to repent, and you need to let the Holy Spirit cleanse you from that and get rid of that. I don't have no secrets from my wife. And I don't believe she has any secrets towards me at all, praise God. And we have followed the Holy Spirit, and we believe we're anointed. We believe we can lead marriages into victory. We believe that we can lead young couples and preach the Word of God. And if they will take it, that their life will end up like our life. Good one. And just like Teresa, praise God, I told her and Dad, I said, I'm with you, baby. I said, we're going to drive this out. And then I fast. I'm the man of my house. I fast for her. I confess over her. I've used the blood of Jesus over her and get in agreement with the Word and the Holy Spirit. And now she don't get drunk and stagger. Hallelujah. And it was not the specialist. And I told her, they said it for October. I'm telling you this, it might be a boring story to you, but what's yours? What are you fighting? What are you doing? What kind of results do you want? Do you want to live long, satisfied, or you want to live and just be in pain? I'm not going to stay in pain. I got a painkiller. And the doctor didn't give it to me. I've got a painkiller, man. It's the Word of God. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It is the grace of God. You know, I burnt that four-wheeler up, and I thought, look, God, I thought maybe God, seeing that Aiden was going to get hurt. But when I checked in here, I'm like, no, because God was able to keep them. God didn't burn $500 for me to keep Aiden safe. God would have told me, sell it. Right? I burn it. I'm the one, don't weld around gasoline. God ain't got nothing to do with that. I did it. I know better. But I told God, I said, oh, well, God, glory to God, you got more where that come from. I'm just going to believe God for a better four-wheeler. And I got him a better four-wheeler, paid cash, and got another one. He said he'd sell another one for $100. And so I told Travis, I said, it ain't just all ragged out, just get it. But anyhow, we went over there, got it. I give him $100 for it. I had $500 in that little one. I would give it for the little one. Aiden just, he drives that thing. Well, go, and I tell Travis, order me that. He ordered me two parts. I've got less than $200 in it. I'm riding on two of them for $500. I got two for $500. Pretty good deal, ain't it? He works all things together for the good of those that love him, right? Well, you know, praise God, I didn't suffer no loss. I could actually get $1,200 or $1,500 out of this one that I just got running, probably at least $700 to $1,200. That's what I told Teresa. I said, but I think I'll just keep it for everybody coming over. Let them ride it. Just ride it, guys. Here, take it. I'll park it over tomorrow and they want to go fishing. Ride the four-wheeler. Go down there and catch them out of that one, put them in that one. Y'all got to ride over there. Don't even walk. Just get out and drive something. Well, you know, why not be a blessing to somebody? See, the Holy Spirit will take us to from where we believe that we can't be helping people and all of that. If we listen to the Holy Spirit, he will. He's been increasing. This boy's been increasing. Ever since, it looked like he wasn't going to get his house. They was believing God for about 8 years, wasn't it? 7 or 8 years. And it looked like it. I think things fell through. They just fell through, and thank God they did. And then all of a sudden, things just worked out. And then right after that, bad things happened that if that had happened, wouldn't have got the house. That wouldn't have happened. God did that right on time, and three or four weeks later, that happened. Then after that happened, God brought increase. $100 a week more increase. Then he got a phone call, maybe take less hours and more money. God will do it. But you know what I've noticed that happens too? That happens to people that press in when the going gets tough. When kind of like I went to the store one time and I hadn't been saved about 5 or 6 months. And I was hearing it all the time. Find the will of God. Find the will of God. Find the will of God. I'm like, man, how do you find the will of God? I mean, how do I find the will of God? I don't know what they're talking about. Find the will of God. Find the will of God. You know, you got to find the will of God. Ask God to show you his will. Ask God to show you his will. And I'm like, man, I'll ask him. Well, I don't need to ask him about that. I already worked there. Well, can I steal anymore? Lord, is it okay, man, if I steal some of that plywood and stuff like I used to, Lord? You can't even ask him that. Well, I go in the store. Here I am, and I put in some money. Popped me out two Cokes. I pulled it out and I said, praise God. I just got a blessing from the Lord. I just got a blessing. The Lord said, that's his profit. He said, you only bought one. He said, if you take that, you're stealing. I thought, I didn't do it. The box did. Throwed it out there. Well, I thought, okay, all right, man. So I took that Coke back in there, and this guy working for the guy that owns the store, I said, man, used to, ain't no way I'm taking a Coke back. Baby, I'm keeping all of them. I'm breaking in Coke boxes. Shoot, if I can get it open. Anyway, I took it in there and I set it up there and I said, hey, man, I said, that Coke box give me two Cokes out there. I said, I just only bought one. Ah, man, I'd keep it too if it was me. This crook down here, he robbing everybody. Washing powders, $3 and something a box when you get them at Walmart for two. He want me to steal too. I told him, I said, well, it ain't really got nothing to do with that, man. I said, I'm saved. I'm a Christian now. I said, I can't do that no more. I said, I didn't pay for one. I said, sure, I could use it, man. I drank it. I said, but that wouldn't be right. The Lord won't let me do that no more. I said, so you put that back in that Coke box. Well, you know what? I drank all the Cokes I want. See, the Holy Spirit is going to lead us in line with the Word of God. So I want to encourage you. Spend some time thinking about it. And the Holy Spirit, here he said, the Holy Spirit, we'll send him, and he shall teach you all things. A lot of the revelations I've got on marriage and all of that, the Holy Spirit did it. He did it because he knew I was willing. And some things I've went through and learned, I've learned for the body of Christ. I've learned for people in jail and different things, you know. And where we're going, praise God, we want to have revelation from the Lord. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you.